I don't know.
WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Michael Shane.
I'm Al Snow, former WWE superstar.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTI Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
Is there something you want to tell us?
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Well, isn't that just a cat's ass?
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
I know. Difficult to hear with your head up your ass.
With your hosts, Tim Stein.
Alright, all those who are getting some hands up.
The Omega.
It's funny when friends get hurt.
Heartbreak Mike.
Michael, you're so bad.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Every day, I am here with my heart on my sleeve.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
For those of us who aren't, you enjoy this moment.
And on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
Oh, it plays records and 8-tracks? This thing's like right out of the future.
Hey everybody, this is Biff Naked.
Hi, this is April Hunter.
Hi, this is Christy Annie. This is the one, the only Knockout Tracy Brooks, and you are listening to WTR Sunday Night.
WTR Sunday Night.
I'm starting to notice something about you.
You're still here.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming live right here at wildtalkradio.com and twitch.tv/WTR Live, as well available on TuneIn Radio. Just search Wild Talk Radio Network. And before I do the introductions, I need everyone to look at the technology screens on the Twitches and the stuff. I've canceled my WWE Network subscription. You can see the email on your screens. It's legit. I canceled my WWE Network subscription tonight. Because they offered me a deal where I can get 3 months for 99 cents. So I've resubscribed to the network as well.
Wow.
I mean, you know, thing. That's what they do. They give us offers. And yeah, it was mentioned in chat. Hal's Rock gonna troll us tonight. That is Hal.
You've been trolled.
No, that's legit. I did cancel it to get 99 cents for 3 months. But I mean,
you trolled them by canceling your regular subscription to save money like a good Jewish boy.
Damn straight.
By taking advantage of the 99 cents 3 month deal.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Like a good Jewish boy.
I am Sir Rocket, joined by Heartbreak Mike.
What's up, guys? Heartbreak Mike here. Holy crap. We got some stuff to talk about. It was pretty cool. I liked it. Yeah, let's talk wrestling.
And the one and only Tim Stein. Yeah, I'm sure that there are a lot of people on the Twitter and Facebook and all the other social stuff yapping about canceling because Brock showed up.
Are we really surprised?
Nah,
before
it's Philadelphia.
Slam. Come on, guys.
It's Philadelphia. It's right before SummerSlam. No, we didn't mean to give away the ending.
Also,
don't think anything happened.
Also, Heyman has the book, so I mean, it's only a given.
I mean, Heyman pulling a page out of Kevin Nash's booking book.
I will say this show had some surprises, including the pre-show, where Shinsuke Nakamura became the new Intercontinental Champion. I was surprised.
Why don't you tell us what happened during the pre-show? You know, there are a couple of us who didn't get a chance to see it. Anything happen?
So, Mike, thoughts on Shinsuke becoming the new Intercontinental Champion?
So, first of all, let me explain this.
Uh-oh.
When I went to go train today, when I wrestling training, we talked about the card. And then, literally, the moment we finished training, hey, the pre-show started. All right, who's on the pre-show? Shinsuke and Finn. What?
Someone had to be.
It got to that point where it was like, wait. The Intercontinental Championship, one. Two, Finn Balor and Shinsuke Nakamura, top-notch superstars, doing their thing on the pre-show. And then we had to realize, you know, the times have changed. Had this been 4 years ago, everyone would be all on it. Wow, they gave it to Shin, because I don't know what's about to happen with Finn.
Could he be coming too sweet again?
He may. That's what I'm starting to see.
Hint.
Nudge. If it happens, hey. Wait, Survivor Series is coming up soon, too.
Well, we got many months before that. I think
they'd
pull the trigger before that, I mean.
Yeah. But then again,
you know, things could happen. We'll talk about it in a minute, where he could play a factor and become...
Woot. Absolutely.
So there's that. It was a good match. I mean, it's Finn and Shin. Shin actually worked really hard, and it was good to see. The outcome was, again, surprising. But it is what it is. Well, we also had the Cruiserweight title, Drew Gulak, Tony Nese. Solid match. Gulak retained. I'm not surprised.
He's doing so good.
I heard him and Riddle had a good match last night at Evolve.
Oh, fuck yes!
I didn't have a chance to see it yet. I plan on it, but I just heard it was good.
Watch it.
I was going to today, but my plans changed. So, there it is. So that's the pre-show. Nothing else really happened during the pre-show. Then we get to the main show. Kick it off. Drew McIntyre and the best in the world, Shane McMahon, taking on the Graveyard Dogs.
All right. That was good. Graveyard Dogs. No, it wasn't.
You can buy the shirt at WWEshop.com.
No, I don't think so.
Which, by the way, you can buy one t-shirt and get one for $1.
Another good deal.
Which I am actually doing right now.
But I want to go to that shirt really quickly on their thing. The bell tolls for Shane McMahon and Drew McIntyre when Undertaker rises from the darkness to join forces with unlikely ally Roman Reigns to take on the devious tandem of the best in the world and the Scottish psychopath in a no-holds-barred match at Extreme Rules. Support the big dogs of WWE as they step into battle where anything goes. This is a legit description for a t-shirt.
And I think I'm going to buy it.
It's not a bad t-shirt. I mean,
two out of three ain't bad.
So, this was really good.
Surprisingly, and, well, no, you know what? I can't say surprisingly because Taker knows what he was doing. And Taker did so well.
What they did in this matchup was they used the classic tag team formula to highlight the Undertaker.
Yeah,
that was pretty good. He didn't sell a mm-hmm. long time because he wasn't in enough to sell, but when he was in there, he sold enough.
Yeah.
And it's like, it worked. He knows how to work a tag match. He's only been in the business for 30 plus years. He knows how to work a tag match. Roman held his own. Shane is good at bumping for Taker.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really good for bumping for Taker. Drew was good. Drew shined in this one.
Drew did shine in this one. I just want to address before we go any further, the shit from air quotes fans leading up to tonight's pay per view talking about this match. I don't get why people didn't want to see it, Mike.
Because they think that Undertaker is too old.
Oh please,
Goldberg was too old.
Right, like that's what I keep. Like I have to let people know, hey guys. He did phenomenal. Let that sink in. No Goldberg.
Because he did everything that he's capable of doing at this stage.
Yep.
He didn't have to be in the match for 20 minutes selling. When he needed to sell, he got in there, he took his shots,
and sold.
He sold like hell. He took the table spot from Shane after Elias interfered.
That table spot was so amazing.
He took the coast-to-coast from Shane.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did his vintage Taker sit-up.
Which was absolutely perfect. You were waiting for it. You knew it was going to happen. When was it going to happen? Oh, there it is, right after the coast-to-coast. Yay!
Everything was good. You shouldn't have pushed Shane McMahon that quickly.
Shane ran a little too fast.
A little bit too fast.
That's okay. Taker's like,
oh, wait a minute.
Taker's like, hold on. We're going to slow it down. We're going to scoop you
was
up.
Was it Corey that sold that?
Yeah, it was Corey.
It was Corey on the mic, yeah.
Like, oh, Shane,
Undertaker's just toying with Shane.
Yeah, he's no, just toying with Shane.
Shane ran into him too quickly. Calm down.
He slowed him down. He scooped him up, dropped him with the tombstone. One, two, three. Roman really and Taker stuff. Win the opening match. Enjoyable.
Boom. One thing that I noticed about this, and I'm not going to take anything away from anybody in the match, because all four of them were highly entertaining. But with Roman and then Shane and, of course, Undertaker in there, Drew just, you know, he literally did come across as the new guy.
But it also set the stage for Taker Drew at some point, whether it's SummerSlam or beyond. You sold enough in this matchup where there's a little history now. You can go to it if need be.
Why not SummerSlam?
I'm okay with it being SummerSlam.
I'd watch it, yeah. I don't think it's too quick.
No, I don't think it's too quick. There's reports that plans may have changed, and, you know. So we'll see how that goes.
Very entertaining.
Very entertaining opening contest. Took like 40 minutes of the show between the intro packages, the entrances, everything. Nice show of respect by Taker and Reigns at the end as well. One piece of knowledge we learned, that in 8 days, it's the biggest Raw reunion of all time. We get the likes of Devon Dudley and Santino Marella returning to Monday Night Raw.
What about his sister? Is she coming?
No, Santina is not coming.
Okay, well, I think the transgender community is going to be upset about that.
Oh, gosh.
I told this to Tim. I'll tell you, Mike. Mm-hmm. At Raw Reunion, we need for Drake Maverick, or not Drake Maverick, R-Truth to run into the actual Hornswoggle.
He's been looking for Hornswoggle for months now. Hornswoggle's got to, like, just show up out of the blue.
No. He's calling Drake Hornswoggle the entire time. Mm-hmm. Thus the deal. So there's that. But it's also Hogan and Austin and Flair, Diesel and Razor and Shawn. They're all going to be on Raw Reunion in 8 days.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. A little bit surprising, but hey, it's what they do. The Revival and the Usos for the Raw Tag Team titles. What do you think, Mike?
Wow. Smash Mouth classic tag team wrestling. And literally, I love the Revival because they're freaking old school. I love it. No flips, no springboards, just punch in the face. Usos were telling a wonderful story. But I love the fact, I loved how that shadow machine was at the end. I'm sorry. You saw a lot of springboards, double Samoan drop. You thought they were going to go for it. No, kicked out. Then, next thing you know, at the end, boom, all right, cool, blind tag. Here we go in the ring. Haha, you thought you were going to win? Shatter Machine. Beautiful how you just pop it up out of nowhere. 1, 2, 3, still tag team champions.
So, number one, I need to remember, hey, Chad, can you just go clip the part where Mike said he loves the Revival? Thank you. Number two.
Oops.
I mean, that's a thing.
That's going to screw up his catch line.
I know that. That's what I mean. You know, just so we have it. It was a good match. I don't know. Part of me felt like it was missing something.
It was a standard match. It felt like a SmackDown match, not a pay-per-view match. It was. I don't want to say anything bad about it, but it was a little lackluster.
Let the good times roll.
Thanks to K.R. Denny for following the stream. Thank you. Hello. Thank you. It was a regular tag match. It was good, but it wasn't anything show stealing. If that makes sense?
Yeah.
It's good. Revival retained. Which I don't think is anyone's surprised by that one.
Right.
Cesaro and Aleister Black. Tim?
Wow.
Cesaro, Aleister Black. I had high hopes for this match. And I don't think that I was out of line with my high hopes. I was hoping for a good match. I really was. And what did you say about Aleister's kicking?
What did I say about his kicking?
Well, you and I chatting about it, and this is like, you know, this is extreme rules and nothing extreme going on.
Oh, yeah.
What are you talking about? Look at the extreme leg work by Aleister Black.
It wasn't his kicking. It was the working over the leg of Cesaro.
Yeah, he was extremely working it over.
Yeah, extremely working over the leg. I thought this was good. It was good. I enjoyed this one. What do you think, Mike?
I enjoyed it.
Go ahead.
I was really speechless in how it was. Just Cesaro.
Aleister Black. I'm sorry. Indie Guy. Tommy End and Claudio going at it. And correct me if I'm wrong, Tim, and I don't think, or in Ron, I don't think they've ever faced in the indies.
You would have to search the Pro Wrestling database for that one. Someone okay. in the chat may know.
Okay. But just for them, like, this is their first time in WWE facing one another. Wow. If this is just something to do, just wait if these two get in, like, main event title matches.
Cesaro's
against each other.
Cesaro's the right opponent to get someone over.
And right.
And he did his job in this one, getting Aleister over, which he needed to do because it's been about, what, two, three months since he's actually been in the ring since they broke up him mm-hmm. and Ricochet. So it's like, this was good to finally get him in the ring, get him a win, which he needed. And now you figure out where he goes next. I think he needs a really good opponent for SummerSlam. I think he needs to be featured.
Yeah.
Maybe against Randy. I think that could work. Let Aleister beat Randy to elevate Aleister mm-hmm. into a title picture. I think that might not be a bad idea. Devil's Fan in the chat thinks that Cesaro and Black fought in Europe.
Okay.
And they faced each other before, at least in a four-man match.
Okay.
Thanks, chat.
If that counts.
Thanks, chat, for the info. So, yeah, this was good. Aleister Black got the win. We went backstage. Truth was looking for Hornswoggle, as mentioned. We had Alexa and Nikki, and then we had the Street Profits. Good little stuff. Then you led to the SmackDown Women's title. Bayley defending against Alexa and Nikki. Enjoyable.
Yeah, it was a good match. It was entertaining.
Yeah.
It didn't really do a lot towards highlighting that you're getting her up, you know, like getting her any much more too much more over.
Mm-hmm.
It was a solid matchup. It's going in, you knew Alexa and Nikki weren't going to win just for the simple mm-hmm. fact that it's a SmackDown Women's Championship match again, with the challengers being from Raw. Let's be real, there was no chance that the two were going to win because they're Raw talents at this point.
That's true.
So Bayley retained. You'll continue the Alexa and Nikki story on Raw. Bayley should move on to someone on SmackDown to defend her title against. That would be the smart thing heading into SummerSlam. I don't know who you defend against. Because the name you can throw out there is Charlotte. Charlotte is, you know, the obvious choice. We haven't seen her in weeks. So she would be the obvious choice to point Bayley at for SummerSlam. Because if you want a big match, there's a big one for the women there. Because I don't think Mandy or Sonya are ready for that spot at SummerSlam yet. But you never know. They could. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see where it goes. And the one Tim really enjoyed, Last Man Standing, Lashley and Strowman.
Well, this one, you know, I said that nobody should expect anything more than a straight-up fight, and that's exactly what the match should be. And ultimately, that's exactly what it was. It was fun. It was mayhem. It was two big guys beating the crap out of each other.
Oh, yeah. They brawled around the arena. There was one comment by Corey. It's like, I don't about something about renovations or something about to the arena.
Mm-hmm.
Newsflash: they're actually doing renovations in the arena, so it's kind of a big ass project they're doing.
So the gimmicked wall was, obvious is obvious. Obvious gimmicked wall is obvious.
Very much so, but. It was a fun brawl. They had some table spots. We had some crowd fighting. We had some spears through things. This went as expected to me. It was really good, but that's it. We don't need this again. We're done. Like last month, it was like when they put them in a regular wrestling match, these two, it's no. Them brawling works for this feud. Power slam off the balcony was a really good spot.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the first time we've seen a spot like that, but it's been a while.
It's been a while, but it worked. Braun got the win.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, going forward now, you need to... Strowman is not a great wrestler. He's a great brawler. You have to find the right opponent for Strowman going forward, like a Lashley, who can brawl with him. I don't know who the right person is to put Strowman against. Chat says Brock, but we've seen it, and that Brock and Strowman just—I don't think clicked.
Well, Strowman was still somewhat green when he faced Brock. You have to admit that he has improved leaps and bounds, and he's come a very long way since.
Wait, who is this?
An eventual matchup between those two would probably work a little bit better. I don't think that Strowman would accidentally stiff Brock, so Brock would wind up having to potato him.
We're talking Braun versus Brock as the possibility. Trying to find Braun an opponent.
Mm-hmm.
Which is difficult. Like, he can terrorize the smaller guys for a little, but that works as a heel thing, not a babyface thing. Lars is injured. It's tough. I don't know what you do with Lashley going forward either, but we'll see. Anyway, Braun got the win.
Yes, he did.
The SmackDown titles were on the line. Daniel Bryan and Rowan defend against the New Day, Heavy Machinery. A little surprised by the outcome. I didn't think the New Day were going to win this one.
I didn't either, until I saw the picture.
I was like, New Day doesn't need the belts. That's surprising. But, I don't know, I enjoyed the match. How about you guys?
Did I call for them to win? I think I did.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't have the picks.
Well, maybe intern can confirm that for me, seeing as he's listening in chat, because I think I picked them to win.
Let me see. Who did I? I think I probably skunked this.
Let's see. He says.
Wait. Oh! Wait. Damn it. Yeah, I skunked that.
Tim did. Tim picked the New Day.
I did pick them to win.
Okay.
I think that was one of two that I got right.
No, you didn't do too bad.
Wow.
It was an enjoyable show. Enjoyable match. New Day. It was an enjoyable show. But New Day retained. I still love Otis. Otis and Bryan in the match together. It's just awesome. I really need that singles match. I just really need it. Give that match to me.
We'll see. We'll see how it goes. Because they do have wonderful chemistry together.
Like, they really do. They really, really do. So, New Day, are you new SmackDown Tag Team Champions again?
I think sixth time now.
Sixth time. It's a New Day. It's the sixth New Day. It's the sixth day.
So now, okay, question. Do you put New Day, Bryan, and Rowan as a thing at SummerSlam? Do you do New Day Heavy Machinery at SummerSlam? Or do you find some other team to put New Day up against?
Well, Bryan and Rowan, in the proper format, deserve a rematch. Are you going to give that away for free, or are you going to put that on SmackDown?
There are no automatic rematches anymore.
No, there are no automatic rematches anymore. I know. I said, remember how I said that in the proper formula.
But I would assume they do that on SmackDown.
Maybe.
Here's the thing. There's 4 weeks to SummerSlam. So it's like, I don't know. Team Chat says the club, but the club's on Raw.
Wrong channel, wrong time. Here's the thing. Do you want to see them push Heavy Machinery?
I wouldn't be mad at it.
But is Heavy Machinery, at the point right now that, it's win or lose momentum?
It depends what you see Heavy Machinery as. Are they going to be a mainstay tag team long term for the division? I don't know, because you could tell they like them. But you can also see that Otis is the star, and he can be a comedy guy at times.
Yeah, well, he had a cute little comedy spot in the middle of this match, running to go dive through the rope, stops, and crawls through them. Like, it's just the way he did that. That was it, you know, gave me a chuckle.
Backstage, he can do comedy bits, so it's like he could be a comedy guy. You don't know.
Yeah. The other knock against Otis. Don't get me wrong. I love Otis. He's great. He entertains me. But the personal knock I have with him is he sometimes seems to forget his place in the ring. And what do I mean by that is he'll deliver his spot and then forget to get out of the way of his tag team partner, and it screws up the flow.
Okay. So we'll see where they go. U.S. titles on the line. Ricochet, AJ Styles. This match stunk. This was the worst match on the show. These two should never rust. Wait, never mind.
No. You're looking at the wrong liner notes, dude. This was match of the night. Holy fuck, it was gorgeous. AJ, oh my God, props to the guy for selling his ass off getting Ricochet over.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if Ricochet really needed all that much help to get over, but this could wind up being one of those matches, Mike. I'm talking about that one particular match you can point to where you say that's where the rocket was ignited and that's where liftoff occurred.
Oh, yeah.
This could be the match launching Ricochet.
This was a case of anything you can do, I can do better.
Even though he lost.
Even though he lost.
One thing for damn sure, he lost nothing momentum-wise with this match. I mean, you're in there with AJ, and wow. No, this was just this in, you know, a bigger title, a different set of circumstances. This was a main event match.
It was.
They've been building to this with the last couple matches on Raw. You had the club interfere, allowing AJ to get the belt. Now the babyface Ricochet can chase the heel AJ Styles. Simple booking, 101. It makes a lot of sense. Now, going back to how we started the show with the pre-show and someone losing their Intercontinental Championship, does Balor come and help Ricochet fend off the club?
Maybe.
Only to eventually turn?
Only. But time will tell. We'll see.
Because we're now at the point where Ricochet needs partners. Because it's 3-on-1. You can go with the Usos and Ricochet against AJ in the club. That's not a bad pairing. But he does need backup in some fashion. Whether you find another couple singles guys to back him up, or you find an established tag team, whether it's the Usos or somebody else. It needs to happen. But Finn would be a good choice to sort of get in there, even though he's a SmackDown guy. Right now, the wild card really can help in this manner, I would say.
And down the road, eventually, you get the reformation of the club in full as the major heel faction.
And I think that's what they're sort of leaning towards right now.
A little bit too slowly, but for some people, maybe. But
it's been 3 weeks. It's not slowly. It's we're getting there.
I said for some people. Some people might want it to happen yesterday.
I know. The internet is fickle like that. Fickle. I say fickle.
Thank you for finally picking it up.
Fickle. Kevin Owens, Dolph Ziggler.
The fickle finger of fate.
Kevin Owens and Dolph Ziggler happened with a stunner 1-2-3.
Yeah, I missed that completely. I figured with the build up that I had enough time to go and do what I was doing. Come back, watch the match, and okay, done. But nope. Wow.
Good. Thankfully, it was 5 seconds, because if it went 5 minutes, it was 5 minutes too long, because this matchup wasn't needed for this show as an actual match.
Match of the year. Match of the year.
Kevin cut his promo on Shane because he couldn't say it on SmackDown because his mic kept getting cut off. But Shane was preoccupied as he got tombstoned by The Undertaker. So it looks like we're going to Kevin and Shane as a feud possibly at SummerSlam. That's not bad.
I don't mind that.
Because now you're building Kevin Owens as a babyface, so him and Sammy should be split for a long time now, because Kevin needs to be on his own as a babyface. Give him a run and see where it goes, because right now it's working.
And never mind all the parallels that are being drawn to Steve Austin.
Why would anyone do that? I have no idea why.
Don't ask that. I mean, aside from the obvious and the fact you're being full of shit, I mean, there's nothing to it.
I mean, Kevin Owens invented the stunner, right? It's his move, right? I mean, there's no comparison. Anyway. WWE title on the line. Kofi Kingston, Samoa Joe. Good solid.
Wait a second. Back up.
What?
So they bequeathed the stunner to Kevin Owens. And then we got Randy Orton with the RKO. KO. I can just see it down the road. It's going to be the KO versus the RKO.
In fact, they haven't done that yet. I mean. WWE title, Kofi Kingston, Samoa Joe. Good solid wrestling.
Oh, thanks, Joe.
Yeah, thank you, Joe.
Why did I say thanks, Joe, Mike? Why did I say that?
Made Kofi look like $1 million. The reason why, well, I'm saying thank you, Joe, is for two reasons. One, he played the heel role very well.
Yeah.
And he wrestled like a heel, like, for Kofi's caliber.
Yeah.
And this is a Samoa Joe that I've been, well, the PG version of Samoa Joe that I've been waiting for a while, because 9 times out of 10, if they really let him unleash, yeah, the Samoan submission machine would be undefeated. That's how I feel.
Okay, well, thank you, Joe. Not for making Kofi look like $1 million. Kofi doesn't need that help. but for furthering the legitimacy of his title reign. Slightly different thing.
Kofi Kingston retains the championship. Who do you have him fight at SummerSlam?
Oh, shit.
We're 4 weeks out. Who do you have him fight?
That's a poser. That really is.
Does Daniel Bryan losing the tag titles put Daniel Bryan back in the title picture then? And you do the WrestleMania rematch there? You got Randy Orton out there. Aleister Black's out there. They have names. It's just a matter of the direction you want to go.
The thing about it is, if they pull Daniel Bryan back into the picture, is that going to feel a little too much of a retread?
We've seen it many times before. But you need a big match for him. So it's like, who do you pull? And is that the time to end the run? Do you end Kofi's reign at SummerSlam, giving him a good 6 months as champion?
Yeah, you know what? I'd like to see him hold the title into the fall.
Here's the name. Now I know who your main event is. Roman Reigns, Kofi Kingston, SummerSlam for the WWE Championship.
No.
Why?
I would not book that as a booker.
Why?
Because, first off, you just got Roman as over as you've gotten him before the infamous Royal Rumble. He's still majorly a babyface. There is just some, you know, unless you turn Roman heel, no. But if you want to turn Roman heel, then yeah, you book that match. They're not going to turn Roman heel.
Okay, then what are you doing with Roman at SummerSlam? He's the supposed face of SmackDown. This is the SmackDown title. That's why it makes sense.
Well, yeah, but they've had the face of the company not have the title on more than one occasion previously. But
you need something for Roman to do, and
you don't need for Roman to chase the title. I think they're going to be keeping him out of the title picture for a little bit longer here. But, I get it. Drew McIntyre versus Undertaker. We'd love to see that at SummerSlam, but I have been calling since before Roman got, had to go for leukemia treatment. I've been calling for Roman versus Drew one-on-one.
We've had that multiple times. We've had it at WrestleMania.
Yeah, we've had it here and there. We haven't had a real, like, full program.
We had it at WrestleMania. We had it six
weeks
ago.
It wasn't a full program. We've had the matches. We haven't had the program. There's a difference.
So you'd rather do another Roman-Drew match at SummerSlam?
Program. Not just a one-off match, because those were a series of one-off matches.
It hasn't been, though, a one-off match. He's been in this program with Roman for, what, 8 weeks now? With the whole thing with Shane? They've been working together?
Again, not one-on-one.
But they have had one-on-one matches.
Are you being deliberately obtuse?
No, I'm being serious. They've had one-on-one matches.
Yes, but they haven't had a program. Just the two of them. There's always been somebody else involved. There's always been something else going on.
Okay, Chad says not a proper program. So you guys want to see Drew
versus
Roman?
He's on the page with me.
Brent says Roman and Drew has happened in the matches where shit, everyone said it.
Ladies, you're both pretty.
The fuck? Mike, yeah. Quit smoking.
I think it's time you go Roman Kofi. Because we don't need another Roman Drew match.
Yeah, like I said, booking wise, if Roman is the face of SmackDown, you're not going to turn him heel, and you're not going to book that match.
Fox deal is coming really soon. Just saying. All right, move on. Winners take all. Extreme Rules for the Raw Women's and Universal Championships.
Becky. Are we already talking about the main event? Oh my God, no!
Yes,
let's cut promos on people.
Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins taking on Baron Corbin and Lacey Evans. I enjoyed this one.
Really good. Liked how it was done. Liked how it was a whole team effort. And they really played the whole Extreme Rules tag team match.
And here's the thing. Rock wanted Corbin and Lacey to win. And I'm watching this, and I'm like, no. People hate Corbin because Baron Corbin. But Baron in the ring, Baron in the ring with Seth was good match, good work. It was great back and forth. They did well. If you pretended it was somebody else other than Baron Corbin, you could get into it. You could actually, you know, enjoy the match. Now I'm referring to the average Baron Corbin hater here. Problem I have, Lacey Evans. She's got potential, and it's not like she's Nia Jax, who will never get any better. She will get better, but no, at this point in time, nuh-uh.
Here is why I said Corbin and Evans should win.
And you want the heel heat.
I gave it a caveat. If you didn't have a good matchup planned for SummerSlam, the easy way to get to another championship match, like you have done many times for many years, is you do a quick title change, putting the heat on Evans and Corbin, giving them the titles for 4 weeks to do rematches at SummerSlam and put the belts back on the proper champions there. You did it in the Attitude Era. You've done it in the mid-2000s. Sometimes the heels need to win something. To me,
and when you do stuff like that, everybody bitches and complains about hot-shotting the title, even if it is transitional.
Everyone's bitching and complaining about the thing that happened afterwards, so what did it matter? Like,
We're getting there. Just getting back to Lacey Evans, she just – too many screw-ups in that matchup. She almost severely injured Becky tonight on more than one – on a couple occasions.
But she's growing into her role.
She is growing into the role. I would like to see her coming along, you know, taking a little bit longer progression.
And I get that. But now
she's not ready.
But
she's like Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Just not ready.
You had to go into this matchup where, and this was my thinking, is if you're here to make a couple new top talents, you got to put them over once in a while. And putting Corbin and Evans over would have made them and legitimized them to some people. And that's sort of what they need. Now these two people are going to be lost for a while because Corbin can't go back. Corbin, unless Corbin's going after Brock, but Lacey can't go against Becky anymore. So Lacey now needs to find another person to feud with, and hopefully they have that because her character is ready. In ring, she needs some work, but her character is ready to be put over. But that's just me.
She still needs a little bit of extra work.
What I was surprised by was the end of days to Becky Lynch.
The beating that he took afterwards, oh.
Oh, the look on Seth's face like, you son of a bitch.
Still kind of somewhat sorry for him.
It's like, you son of a bitch.
She sold that beautifully.
She did. And he just started.
That end of days, beautiful.
And then he started to beat on her.
But I feel like I want to do it again. I want to see it again.
Oh, yeah. So he just beat on with three stomps. Becky and Seth retain their championships, and the ring announcer is starting to do the announcement, and then, well, here comes the pain. Brock Lesnar shows up, and, well, cashed in.
Because at least we know he wasn't cashing in on Kofi.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Has sent the internet wrestling community into the darkest of abysses.
It's SummerSlam time. It's, again, now you know the better matchup was Brock and Rollins at SummerSlam, so.
Well, there's your heel heat.
But it didn't make anyone. That was the whole thing. So they had a better match. And that's fine. You have a better match in Rollins and Brock. It's a WrestleMania rematch. We'll see what happens. Brock is now your Universal Champion. He's going to be the face of Raw. I don't know how long, but that's where we are.
And here's the rarity, the appearance of Brock Lesnar in two consecutive pay-per-views.
Is it two?
Extreme Rules and then SummerSlam. That's the next pay-per-view, right? In 4 weeks?
Oh, you mean going forward. Yeah, that would be two. He was at Saudi show, so he was there. So three or four. It's not bad. Not bad at all. And he was also on Money in the Bank. So he worked WrestleMania. I think he's missed one pay-per-view then. He missed Stomping Grounds, I think.
Yeah, he missed Stomping Grounds.
Yeah, he wasn't there for that.
So that's the only pay-per-view he's missed in the last few months. It's not bad. Brock's around. All right, there you go. So that was the pay-per-view. Very enjoyable.
You know, people bitching and complaining about Brock regaining the Universal title. Shut up, okay? If you're going to bitch about what WWE is doing, what the hell are you doing watching it? I've asked this question before. I'll ask it again. It's not cool to be bashing whatever it is you're watching and continue to watch it, no matter whether or not you think it's part of being, you know, the cool kids club. Quit doing it. Tonight's pay-per-view was extremely good. It was extremely entertaining. It was extremely fun.
Any more extreme puns you want to make?
Oh, I thought I would let Mike try now.
Nope, you got it.
Okay, that's all that matters.
All right. Pick 'em.
I liked pay-per-view. It set me up for the next, you know, like for tomorrow night and then Tuesday and then for the next 4 weeks.
All right. Pick 'em results, Tim.
Some people got more right than others. How's that?
Okay, Quinn was 3-3, finishing dead
last.
Oh,
I was about to. Will you let me have my fun? Jesus Christ, Brock Lesnar won the title. I got to get some enjoyment somehow.
Fine. Read off the picks, Tim.
Well, I thought you were going to do it. Anyway, yeah, in 12th place, Quinn ties 3-3. In 10th place, the 8-Ball and Jenna, they go 4-6. Jobbers all along, 5-5 in 5th place. In 9th place, rather. In 6th place, Heartbreak Mike, myself, and Chris P, we all got 6-4 in 2nd place. My goodness, it's an extremely long tie. Rock, Lindsay, Rob, Sheila all went 7-3. And all alone in number 1 for our Extreme Rules Pick'em, 88-2.
That'll do it for WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We will be back next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Yep, we're back live. Everyone, mark it in their calendars. We're live next Sunday, 10 p.m. Do you know why, Tim?
Because something's happening.
WTR
it's
Fantasy.
It's called WTR Fantasy.
Yeah, it's back next Sunday. The draft.
Duos. Season. What is it? Season 9.
Season 9.
Wow, I got it right. Hey, we got new rules. It's not just the standard fantasy. It's tag team fantasy.
It's duos. It's myself,
yeah,
and
tag teams.
It's myself and Lindsay. It's Omega and Brent. And it's Canadian Chocolate, Mike and Tim.
Mike, we're going to change that name.
Oh, God.
What?
There's no such thing as Canadian Chocolate.
Okay.
There's chocolate available in Canada, and it's really good because it's real, but it's not like Swiss chocolate.
Yeah.
But that's
or Belgian chocolate, or German chocolate, or Dutch chocolate.
Absolutely.
It's a great.
And don't you dare think about calling us poutine. Mike, do you know what that is?
Chat, do you want to be called poutine?
I'm sorry, I'm too disgusted to think. Yeah, I know what it is.
All right.
You know what poutine is? Okay.
So.
It's like great Canadian cuisine.
So, chat, do you want them to be called Canadian chocolate or poutine? You guys
decide.
We're
not being called poutine. Fuck off.
You decide next Sunday night, WTR Fantasy Draft as a part of Wrestle Talk Radio.
No, we'll have several options for you to vote on, and neither one of those two will be on the list.
Anyway, what else, Tim?
Tomorrow night, you're going to do some shit about Raw immediately following Raw.
Tim's Bits.
No, it won't be called Tim's Bits, kittens.
Anyway, yeah, Raw post at 11 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, Thursday night is the multi-time, multi-award winning The Rack Radio Show with Lindsay Ward.
We're back live, 10 p.m. Eastern. We're going to review Extreme Rules, 10 p.m. Eastern, along with SmackDown and NXT.
Yeah, and of course, throughout the week, Fortnite with friends, use the code whatever.
Use code Rock and Sock in the Fortnite item shop. We're in the Epic Game Store.
What does that get you?
It gets me money, so.
Oh, it gets you money. It
gets me money, so use the code.
How much money do you make playing Fortnite?
Well, I need more people to use the code, so just when you buy things in the item shop, I make a percentage.
Who sells these items?
Fortnite.
Well, then how come you get a cut?
Because I have a creator code. It's called Creator Code Rock and Sock.
And what does that do for it?
You can also follow and subscribe twitch.tv/WTRLive. I'm not going round and around and around and around and around and around and around and around.
There's also a hole in the bucket, dear Eliza.
Yeah.
Also, coming this week, before we actually do the Saturday plug first, I'll mention it.
What are you mentioning?
Saturday Night Midnight Ish is another edition of CB Radio. I said, hey, hit the Saturday plug. He didn't even go for it. Saturday Night Midnight Ish, CB Radio. SuperLive.com, GreaterThanGreatTheMate.com. Coming this week, there'll be another edition of CB Radio Not So Live.
You know, if you learn to talk not so goddamn fast, people might understand you.
Everyone knows CB Radio Not So Live. We'll be talking AEW, Fight for the Fallen, myself, a jobber, maybe an intern. CB Radio Not So Live.
Not ready for prime time. CB Radio.
No, it's called CB Radio Not So Live. That's the name of the show.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. And, of course, like Rock said, yeah, we're doing fantasy next week, so show up for that. Because we got to.
Yep. They'll be here at WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Tim, where can they find you on the Twitters and stuff?
Two separate places, just for the fun and the dad jokes, the bad jokes, the good jokes, all of that shit, and sports talk and wrestling talk, at Flames Forums. If you want to get onto my political side and delve into that, at Voicing Sanity on Twitter.
Mike, where are you on the socials?
On the socials, you can hit me on the WTR Oreo, hit me on the Facebook, excuse me, Dragon Out Wrestling, and then you can look at me on the Twitch. I have twitch.tv, Stu Heyman. I do weekly shows on Thursday. Yeah, back to you, Rock.
At TJ Omega on Twitter, buy his stuff. It's linked, it's pinned on top of his Twitch or Twitter, because he's at MetroCon and He's spent a lot of money, so he needs to sell some stuff. So buy it on his eBay. It's at TJ Omega on Twitter, youtube.com/TJ Omega. This has been WTR Sunday.
Oh, wait a minute. If you're looking for him on Facebook, it's TJ Reviews.
Yeah, I mean, there you go.
Don't forget that.
Send us home, Tim.
That's it, everybody. Another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I hope you all have a wonderful, wonderful week ahead. We'll catch you next Sunday night.
WildTalkRadio.com.